Hello, mate. I'm Jimmy Page, and Windows 10 rocks. Hey, guys, and welcome to the show. I am very excited today to have Scott Ellison with us. Scott sits actually just a few cubes down from me in the Charlotte office. Scott, what's up, buddy?
Not much. Just ready for the weekend. Looking forward to some time off from this week.
Yeah, yeah, you and me both. So we record these about 2 weeks in advance. So actually what you're seeing was recorded 2 weeks ago. And on today, 2 weeks ago today, you know, when we're recording this, welcome to Back to the Future. I think we just announced that it's the one-month mark since the Windows 10 release, and we've got 75 million deployed.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I mean, I've been at Microsoft for almost 10 years, and I've never really seen an OS take off like that. I've seen a lot of excitement from my customers that I get to work with every day, wanting to know what they have to do, not only with their SCCM deployments, because I support Configuration Manager, but, you know, what can Windows 10 do for them? I mean, I've gotten questions from, like, what are some of the new features? You know, how's it going to make my life easier in the enterprise? You get stuff that every day that, you know, customers are just excited. They're ready to take their enterprises up to the next level on the client side. So I thought what we talk about today is, you know, how do you start that conversation, and how do you go about getting Windows 10 started in your environment? You know, what are some of the things that you might want to think about? We'll talk about a little bit about, you know, high-level overview on deployment. What are your options with Windows 10? Because that's been a huge investment area. You know, there's so much new information out there. So I want to kind of use this webcast today as just kind of a kickoff. You know, where can you start looking for some of these things? What are those things that someone needs to know in order to start that conversation within your organization if you want to deploy Windows 10?
That sounds really exciting. And by the way, I forgot to mention that it's the 20th anniversary of Windows 95.
Yes, I remember when Windows 95 came out.
Here's my special edition, unopened Windows 95 copy. And I got this because I was on the team that did some of the networking stack stuff. And it was me and George Scott and Mike Dunn, who are all still Microsoft employees. And we actually did all of our stuff for Windows 4 Workgroups 3.1.1, but that kind of became the networking stack that we migrated into Windows 95. That was our first 32-bit networking stack. And so very proud of Windows 95. And I kept it and didn't open it, but it's here, and I have it. And if anybody wants to offer me a couple of $1,000 for it, I might consider selling it. But other than that, it's staying with me.
So let me ask you this question. Did you upgrade, or did you do a clean install?
Of Windows 10 or Windows 95?
95.
Oh, I did a clean install.
So I did an in-place upgrade with 29 floppy disks. I didn't have a CD-ROM, but I did an in-place upgrade. It actually worked, but I remember having to do the floppy with the 3.5-inch floppy disk. I think there were at least 25 to 30 of those disks I just kept putting in and out of the computer, and it took me probably a good 2.5 hours.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I know it is. I don't think they had put some out on CD-ROMs, but they were like the new big thing, and I didn't have it in this PC that I had bought, and wish I had had one in there. I think it would have made my life a lot easier that day. But that's okay.
Yeah, mine's on CD. I don't think mine's on floppy. I'm pretty sure mine's on CD. Let's see. What do you need? Oh, this is going to be fun. To use Microsoft Windows 95, you need a personal computer with a 386DX processor. Or right. Higher.
Yep.
MS-DOS operating system 3.31 or higher. 4 megs of memory. 8 megs recommended. Typical hard disk required with 35 to 40 megabytes, not gigabytes, of space available. One CD-ROM drive, so this is CD, a bit CD-based. A VGA or higher resolution graphics card. And options include a Microsoft mouse pointing device, a modem, or fax, and an audio card with speakers for sound. Wow. So stuff that we all just kind of take for granted now.
Yeah, take that for granted now, but back then that was like a big deal. And
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, even the Office installation, before it went on CD, it was on floppy disk. And I know you got this big old box. I remember buying Office 4.3 in college.
Yeah.
I had to go in. I had this huge box. I got the student discount, and I was so excited to get Word and Excel and PowerPoint finally on my computer. And I had to do that floppy disk shuffle. It was a long time. It made me appreciate when I finally got a CD-ROM.
Yep. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, the other funny thing about this is that it talks about the Microsoft network.
Yes, MSN.
Yeah, so to access Microsoft Exchange and the Microsoft network, you need 8 megs of RAM, 20 megs of hard drive of additional hard drive space, and a modem. That's just killer. I love it. And we've come a long way, right?
Yes, we have.
I mean, it's just amazing. You know, 4 megs was huge back then. Having a computer that had 4 megs of RAM was, you know, that was pretty stout.
Yeah, it was. Getting up to 8 megs, you were going to look at spending some major money on a machine.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty cool. So let's talk about now, because with Windows 10, there's a lot of really cool ways to deploy it, right? You can just stick the disk in, but if you're an administrator, you don't want to do that because, you know, that's a lot of time and a lot of effort. And we have much better ways to deploy. In fact, we have since Windows 95. And so let's talk about that.
So, Lex, you know, speaking of deployment, let's actually talk about deployment scenarios for Windows 10 and just, you know, kind of review what you can do in your organization to start deploying Windows 10. So really the first one that's really specific to Windows 10 is the new in-place upgrade scenario. And that is actually a very core scenario that the Windows 10 team has spent a lot of time making a lot of investment to make the transition from Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 to Windows 10 a lot easier for organizations. The beauty of the in-place upgrade is that it preserves all your application settings, your files, your data. You're not having to go through this process of wipe and load. You know, when we went from Windows XP to Windows 7, and it just seems like yesterday that we just got most organizations onto Windows 7, you know, that was a very time-consuming process because you would have to back up the user data, take the user data up to move it to a share, wipe, format the drive, install the new OS, install the application, and then restore the user's applications and files. Now with the in-place upgrade scenario, that will cut down by half the amount of time that it will take to upgrade a user's computer from Windows 7 to from Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 to Windows 10. And, you know, we've also done a lot of testing on this in-place upgrade scenario. So if you were a member of the Windows Insider program and you tested some of the earlier versions of Windows 10 and you still are continuing to be a Windows Insider even after the release of Windows 10, we use an in-place upgrade method to go from one version to the next. So that's going to be probably one of the key deployment scenarios, especially as we get further into, as you deploy Windows 10 and then you continue to do the updates, because we're going to be treating Windows as a service now, just like we do with Office 365, where every couple of months you'll get a new update with new functionality, new features. So depending on what branch that you decide that you're going to, that your organization may take, you can do an in-place upgrade to move from one version build to the next. So, you know, we did the in-place upgrade, spent a lot of cycles on that, but we still have the old, a lot of the other traditional scenarios for deployment. New computers, so if you have hardware refresh, You'll be able to deploy Windows 10 to that. We still support Pixie Boot with the WDS server, you know, going and hitting the F12, and you can, if you're using that either with Configuration Manager or MDT, wipe and load, where, again, when we went from XP to Windows 7, that was a lot of the scenarios that we supported. And in some cases, wipe and load is still going to be an option that you're going to want to look at. And one thing that I definitely want to bring up in our talk here today. And then, of course, side-by-side, you know, where you're taking data and you're from one device to another and moving that. Maybe you're getting hardware refreshed. And then even offline with removable media. So we can support that as well. So if you have a machine that you're in an area with low bandwidth and you may not have a deployment server, you can put it on a USB drive. Put it in the computer with all the applications and large software packages and install it on the machine. And then you can even do pre-stage media in Configuration Manager, where you pre-stage the WIM file and all the applications and the drivers. So when you actually turn on the machine, the whole boot process starts up.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I think the other thing that's important to kind of mention here is that, you know, in previous versions of Windows, we've spent some time on the install process, but it really has kind of been, you know, kind of an afterthought. Of course, we have to install things, but, you know, we'll just do some basic work on the install. Our goal is to get the OS installed, not to make the install process or procedure, you know, a hugely romantic and beautiful thing. And I think in Windows 10, we've changed that quite a bit, right? In Windows 10, we've really spent a lot of cycles on deployment and setup in general.
Yes, we have. I mean, you know, that was one of the key test scenarios that, you know, we wanted people to do for us in the Windows Insider. So every time we dropped a new build, we did an in-place upgrade. We even did that internally here at Microsoft through our own testing. The goal of any deployment or where we want it is to always make it easier to have your device up to date. And so they're still continuing to make investments to make deployment easier. But the in-place upgrade scenario is going to be a great way for organizations to deploy quicker and keep those devices up to date.
Awesome. Show us how it works.
So really, the in-place upgrade architecture is four steps. And this slide actually shows if it was Configuration Manager doing the upgrade, but this would be whether you were doing an in-place using the Windows Media, whether you're using Microsoft Deployment Toolkit or Configuration Manager. Because even with Configuration Manager, we're still using the native Windows setup task parts of that. But basically, it's a four-step process. One is we go through and we check to make sure that the client is ready for an upgrade. And then we transfer that upgrade package, no apps, drivers, or user settings. We upgrade the OS using the in-place upgrade functionality that's part of Windows. And then, you know, the fourth step in that is the apps, drivers, and user settings that are configured as part of that upgrade, or make sure they're put back in the right place. And really, that's kind of the upgrade process. It's very simple, very seamless. You know, almost 75 million people, they've upgraded to Windows 10, and a lot of those were done through in-place upgrades.
Yeah, and I was in the fast ring, as you probably were as well. And, you know, I got pushed down new versions of the OS all the time, and it just worked. It was just awesome. It just worked. I mean, you know, you'd get the ring with the little counter, and next thing you know, you're up and running. I mean, it was really a great experience. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, how do customers make the decision about upgrading? You know, when do they upgrade versus doing just a complete fresh install?
Well, that's a good question, and I think there are some scenarios that, you know, that need to be thought through before when you decide or how you decide that you want to go to how you want to handle that. So another fundamental change is when you want to use wipe and load is when you're going to BIOS to UEFI. And I really kind of want to emphasize the point that if you're going to be planning a migration to Windows 10, UEFI is something you really need to take advantage of and take a serious look at. If you want to take advantage of some of the newer security features in Windows 10 like Device Guard, this is going to require a UEFI. UEFI also supports larger hard drives, larger than 4 terabytes, I believe. So you really want, if you haven't had that conversation or you haven't started configuring your devices to support that, take a look at it. Start studying this because this will be a bigger benefit going down the road, and you can really have some fundamental change in your organization, take advantage of better security, and just, you know, you'll have a much more secure device under UEFI.
Yeah, I think every modern OS nowadays, you know, utilizes UEFI. And I am actually surprised. I learned something. I didn't know that we would allow Windows 10 to install on a box that didn't, you know, use UEFI. But now that I come to think about it, it kind of makes sense, right? Because that's actually something that BIOSes have to support. And we certainly don't want to leave anybody out. We want everybody to be able to enjoy Windows 10.
So other times when you want to continue to use the traditional wipe and load method, you're going to change the base OS language of the operating system. You're going to use a WinPE offline operation. Maybe you want to have a custom base image that in there. And then another one is also third-party disk encryption. So if you're not using BitLocker and using a third-party disk encryption, unless it's supported for in-place upgrade, you will need to do wipe and load scenarios.
So let's talk about some of the other reasons that people would want to upgrade to Windows 10 if they haven't already. I mean, 75 million is a huge number, if I do say so myself.
So there's a lot of new great features, and I think, you know, and a lot of times you want to think, like, what is the reason I need to, why should I put an investment in going to Windows 10? Not just because it's the latest and greatest that we have to offer, but I think there's a lot of great features that will benefit enterprise customers and just consumers in general. So we have a couple of things, you know, 4 listed on this slide here. We are replacing passwords. We have a new feature called Windows Hello that uses biometrics and hardware-based multi-factor authentication. So if you have the right kind of camera, it'll take a look at your retina and will unlock Windows for you. We also call this Next Generation Credentials or Windows Hello. I believe Brantley Whitley did an episode on NGC credentials with you a couple of weeks ago, which was really awesome. I recommend everybody look at that. We also did Credential Guard, so we can protect the identity of using hardware-based credential isolation. We have enterprise data protection. This is going to be very useful in BYOD scenarios where you want to separate your corporate data from personal data. And then also Device Guard, which I mentioned earlier, when you want to use wipe and load scenarios. If you want to eliminate malware on your corporate devices and only run the software that you specify, you can use Device Guard, and you have to be on UEFI. Also, Secure Boot is another way to prevent malware from being on that device. So, you know, and then some other features for Windows 10 that, again, we were looking at, again, a huge investment we made into the in-place upgrade scenario. There, again, as we mentioned, there will be times where you may want to consider a wipe and replace type deployment, but for deployments going forward, once you get on Windows 10, being an in-place upgrade should help a lot with that heavy lifting and make that upgrade process a lot better. One of the other really neat things, and this kind of falls into the area that I'm a specialist in, is in device management. And so what we've done is that you can manage the Windows 10 operating system as a mobile device. So what's interesting for someone that maybe a configuration manager admin that's listening to this webcast, you will have two choices of two types of ways that you want to manage a Windows 10 device. You can manage it in the traditional sense where you apply a group policy, it's a domain joined group policy and configuration manager client is on the device, and you're managing it that way. You also have the option to use MDM and apply MDM policies. So that would be very useful for road warriors, people who are in the on the road all the time, may not necessarily always come into the office or have VPN access, or maybe your organization has a BYOD policy. You can apply MDM management to that device, so you can secure the data, your corporate data. You can ensure that they're secure and that someone's not bringing a unprotected and or a unauthorized device onto your corporate network. So also, Windows 10 has been built for cloud. And Microsoft Azure, if you haven't had an opportunity to go look at that, I would encourage a lot of our IT pros to go out and take a look at that, because there are a lot of pieces in Microsoft Azure that will affect the cloud. You know, the cloud is going to touch not only the server side but the client side as well. And you know, some of the new features that we'll have with that we have with Windows 10 is the ability to do Azure domain join. So this is very similar to what you think when you think of Active Directory domain membership on your traditional on-premise infrastructure, where you take your Windows 10 machine, you join it to your domain, and it's part of your on-premises Active Directory. So what you can also do with a Windows 10 device is you have the option to either do your on-premise domain join, or you can also join it to your Azure AD tenant. So if you have a dispersed workforce that may be using mobile devices, maybe they're doing another other BYOD scenarios, you can have them using their on-premise credentials. If you have it synced with Azure AD, they can join their device into Azure Active Directory, and it can be managed. If they just recently released a feature probably about a month ago, not even a month ago, where if you have Azure Active Directory Premium and Microsoft Intune, then you can have that device automatically. Once it's joined to Azure AD, then it can be managed by Microsoft Intune. So that's a really cool feature. One thing to point out with devices, though, they can't be both. They either have to be either joined to your Active Directory that's on-premise or to your Azure Active Directory. But this is something that will be useful, like I said, in BYOD scenarios. So really start to evaluate, how do you want to continue to do the traditional management, or do you think you might want to look at more MDM, more cloud type management? We're also going to have the universal apps for Windows, which is really neat. So developers can write an app, and it will run on Windows 10 on the PC. It will run on the phone. It will also run on the Xbox and other devices that we have coming out, like HoloLens and Surface Hub. So we have some really cool, I think universal apps are going to be really cool going forward. If you are running Windows 10 now, the Mail and Calendar app is a great example of what a universal app is. It's the same experience whether you run it on the PC or you run it on the phone. And then we'll also have the Windows Store for Business. So we will actually have a full Windows Store that you can control, that your users can also go and get the applications that they need for their devices.
So it sounds like there's a lot of great new features for Windows 10, and it sounds like there's a lot of great ways to deploy Windows 10. What do customers have to do to make sure that they're ready?
So over the last several months, we've released a lot of information about what organizations need to do to prepare their enterprises for Windows 10. And I've tried to pull some of that together, so because it's in a lot of different places, and of course, going to Windows 10 is going to mean a lot of different things. So But this is just a a few bullet points that I think that are important. So if you're on Configuration Manager 2012, you need to upgrade to R2 SP1, or if you're on SP1, you need to upgrade to SP2. This version of Configuration Manager supports the in-place upgrade scenario, so that you can, and it also has support for the Windows 10 ADK. For those that are running Configuration Manager, not only should you apply the service pack, but also the first cumulative update for R2 SP1. It addresses some issues that were found after the release of the service pack. And then I would also recommend applying a separate post CU1 hotfix 308, KB3084586. So I know it sounds like a lot, but again, that's one of the interim steps that I would recommend doing if you run a Configuration Manager environment. Plus, if any of the Config Manager admins are listening, if you are planning to go to Configuration Manager vNext, we have Technical Preview 3 out now. You are going to need to be on R2 SP1, so I would go ahead and start making plans to get your hierarchy upgraded. Back on August 17th, we updated MDT to support Windows 10, so the latest update for the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit is Update 1, so that will have some new features that you can use to take advantage of Windows 10 as well. I would also recommend, fundamental change. So anytime, again, as you go to a new desktop operating system, this is a good time to evaluate and introduce, any fundamental changes you need to make in security and the management of your desktops and or your devices. So this is something I would really recommend for customers is consider UEFI over BIOS to take advantage of the new features in Windows 10. Secure Boot and Device Guard are going to be two of the biggest ones. One of my customers is very interested in Device Guard, so I definitely would recommend that you, when you either purchasing or configuring new devices, that you consider UEFI and take advantage of the features, the security that it provides. RSAT tools for Windows 10 are now available. If one of the reasons saying, well, I can't manage my servers because I don't have RSAT tools available for Windows 10, we got you covered there. So the remote, those tools that you can administer your Windows 2012 and R2 servers and Server 2012 and 2008 R2, we have the RSAT tools available and they have been updated. So also too, for Windows 10, if you are in a large organization and you use Windows Enterprise, you make sure that you apply KB Article 305-8168. This is an update to Windows Server 2012. This updates your KMS server, so you can do the remote activation. We do have an update that's supposed to be that will be scheduled for release later this fall for Windows Server 2008 R2. Just as you've done in the past with other operating system upgrades, check your compatibility with your third-party vendors, VPN, disk encryption, antivirus. Most of the vendors now have been doing testing, so you need to what I would do is recommend check with your vendor's website and see what their support statements are for Windows 10. And then download and install the Windows 10 ADK. This is a great tool because it gives you a plethora of information of how you can customize your image. The documentation is very good. And there's a lot of great new tools that are part of the Windows 10 ADK. If you even want to deploy Windows 10 using Configuration Manager, you're going to need Windows 10 boot disk, and so you'll need to install it on the server on your site servers. We actually have a blog post on the Configuration Manager site with information on how to actually perform this. But get the Windows 10 ADK downloaded. Get it installed with the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit or Configuration Manager, whatever you use for your OS deployment, and go ahead and start looking at what the things that you can do with Windows 10, because I really think that this is a way you can really enhance the Windows experience in your organization and really take your devices to the next level.
Yeah, so that's really cool. That's all. That's great stuff. I think it's important to remind people that a lot of that stuff was for enterprise deployments. There's a lot of users that'll just deploy Windows 10 at home, you know, or in a small office, and that's a pretty simple and straightforward endeavor as well. In short, I just have to say that I'm so impressed with the Windows 10 install. I think it's awesome. I love the experience that Windows 10 provides. I love being able to switch between desktop mode and tablet mode. And so far, I'm really impressed with the job that we did on the OS.
Me too. And like I said, I think with some of the future enhancements and features that we have coming out in the future, once they're introduced, it's going to be really neat. I'm really excited about the direction we're heading in this.
Yeah, well, it's Friday, and at least it is when we're recording this. It's probably like Monday at 8 a.m. when you're watching it, but or listening to it. But anyway, thanks, Scott, for being with us. Is there a link or any place that people can go to get more information about deploying Windows 10?
So there's a lot of great blogs out there. The first place I would start is go to the Microsoft Deployment Team blog. There is a an MDT blog out there that talks a lot about a lot of the cool stuff with Microsoft Deployment. Michael Niehaus, a lot of folks may know that name. He is kind of our guru when it comes to Windows deployment. He has a blog with a lot of great stuff out there, so you can type his name into Bing and it'll bring back his blog. And then if you're a Config Manager admin, there is a lot of good content on the Config Manager support team blog and on the product team blog. There's actually two of them. So a lot of great content, you know, more than I can actually speak to in one podcast.
Yeah, no worries. Well, that's good. And that gives people a place to go. So that's great. All right, folks, that's it for this episode. That's your Taste of Premiere.